I have a very dramatic announcement. So anyone with a weak heart should leave now.
Unreal. Revolution. Revolution. Uncensored. Revolution. 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 Unchanged. Revolution. Unadulterated. Revolution. Unbelievable. CliffCentral.com.
Revolution. A very hearty welcome to all our jewels, our listeners out there. You are listening to Professor David Block, and I have the singular joy and honor of hosting a different show each week, streamed globally across our little planet. We have listeners in Chicago. We can have listeners in Eastern Europe. We have listeners around the globe looking up with David Block. May I give you the contact details to reach us here live in studio in Rivonia? Remember, you can always call us right online. It'll flash up on our screen. Call us on the number 0861-555-189. That is 0861-555-189. My Twitter handle is at Starry Galaxy Man. That's at Starry Galaxy Man. And the Twitter feed here is at CliffCentral.com. You can reach us today on Facebook at Cliff Central. Very popular medium is WeChat ID. And those are the ones which we would recommend that you really use today. I suppose that each one of you hearing my voice today has a dream, has a vision, wants to attain something to in life, wanting to become someone, wanting to follow their dreams, wanting to follow their aspirations, wanting to scratch at the cutting edge, wanting to be a diamond in the starry vaults of the night sky. And today, here live, joining me in studio at Cliff Central, is Jessica Myhill. A very, very hearty welcome to you, Jess. I am just so thrilled that you are joining the professor today on Looking Up in Wonder. Welcome.
Thank you, David. I'm glad to be here.
Yes, no, it's a great joy and pleasure. I just thought, well, it was really my wife, Liz, my jewel, Liz, who said that Jess is an absolute must for our little global stream today. And when I started asking for some information about Jess, I started underlying words that she's interested in topics, such diverse topics as the dynamics of light. Wow. You know, as a young schoolboy growing up in Krugersdorp, I had such a passion, Jess, for photography. I just loved standing in the bathroom with a photographic tank, as we called it, a little device into which you put your film, and then you developed it and processed it. It's a very wet process, as you know, unlike the digital medium. But I adored photography. To me, it was my life. It was my passion. It was my dream to capture the portrait, the smiling face, the frowning on someone's, you know, forehead, just the awesomeness, the detail of the photographic medium. And so I'm very accustomed, of course, as a professor of astronomy, to the dynamics. You know, I love you, the way you put it, the dynamics of light and not just life itself, light itself. But let me just tell you a little bit about Jess just before we formally let loose on the Q&A time. And that Jess has got a most impressive CV. She is heading for the New York Film Academy at the age of 19. I think that is starry. One of the stars in our heavens above. That is just awesome. Now, listen to this, folk. She's winner of the St. Mary's School Photography Competition. She's filmed and edited a film which is incorporated into the school production of a musical called Little Woman. Finalist and winner in the photographic competition hosted at St. Mary's. Awarded, awarded acceptances in the National School for the Photographic Competition by the Photographic Society of South Africa. Regional finalist in the Woolworths Making the Difference Through Design Competition. The list is endless. It would take me quite some time to process all the information, but I think you've got the key point here, is that here is a very young lady with a dream, with a vision to head to New York, to head and to reach for the stars through the dynamics of light, through the medium of film, through drama, and through the understanding of light. Feel free to call us in studio on 0861-555-189. And the most popular way we find of you reaching and asking us Q&As is just WeChat ID Cliff Central. And joining us also in studio today is Jess's friend, Thabo. Is that correct, Thabo?
Yes,
hi. Why don't you just tell us just a wee little bit of your background, sir?
Well, I've known Jessica for a long time, and
is a long time? You know, in astronomy, that goes through billions of years. So, tell me what a long time is.
Okay, well, I met Jess at St. Mary's in grade 8,
yes.
And we've become close friends ever since then. And
yes.
I've seen her passion for film and photography continue to grow, and today I'm just here to support her.
Wonderful. Well, I'm going to, when I ask Jess questions, feel free to interject and to also add your thoughts. So let's kick off with Jessica Myhill heading for the New York Film Academy. Jess, please tell me, as the first question, you know, each one of us dreams. Many of us never really discover our actual interests, do we, Duncan? We never really really discover our passions in life. Isn't it true?
It's absolutely true. And Professor, finding your one, how would you know that that's the one thing that you are meant to do? How do you know, Professor?
So let's just ask Duncan's question straight to you, Jess. How do you know that photography and the medium of film is for Jessica Myhill?
Well, I guess I started when I was young, when I just was obsessed with the visual world. And as soon as I got a camera in my hand, I could not stop taking photos and capturing people and scenes. And I think the
photographs of what? People?
Of people and of, I think what I love about people is that every person has an energy and a unique quality about their character.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you can capture that, especially in a candid photo, which has become a hobby, I think people have always joked about how I'm quite a stalker, because I love to take pictures of people when they're not looking.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when people aren't self-conscious and have a photo in their face, they really just show visually how much of their unique quality as a person in just a moment, in a single frame.
So let's, for example, say that you're at an athletic match. Just let's say. What sort of candid photographs would you like? I mean, would you like to actually get people in the audience just sort of chilling away and showing that? Or do you like movement? Or do you like both?
I think whenever I take photographs, I go with whatever I feel I'm drawn to. So if it's someone running on the field and they have an amazing energy in their face because they're passionate, I think that's real, and I think I would want to capture that. But if it's someone in the audience and they're passionate, or they have something real and genuine in their emotions while watching a sport match, I think that would be something I would capture. So anything that really can just show something real and genuine about a person and about a situation.
And so have you got any specific likes, for example, of portraiture? I mean, you're obviously very interested into film, not just stills, but actual movie. Mm. What are your dreams? I mean, in terms of now, let's ask this question. Let's take one film that you particularly enthralled with, say, seen or screened in the last 5 years. Which one would it be?
It's a very tough question.
It is very tough, isn't it?
Yes.
Is there any specific topic covered within a film that would make you say, wow, that was really well produced? While you're thinking about that, how about Tabo giving us his view?
Well, I don't know. It's a very difficult question to answer.
It is, I know.
So I just have to think about it for a second. But if there's any topic that's been covered
in... Let's look at a topic, yes.
Well, for me, the best example I can think of a recent film was Interstellar.
How did you enjoy Interstellar?
Well, I enjoyed Interstellar from the science point of view.
Okay.
That they took theories that aren't really proven, and they depicted it in a way that you could imagine it.
Yes.
So, like, there are very few films that can do that, like, very few techniques to, like, depict something that's not real, like something that people cannot prove into a way that ordinary people can imagine it.
Right.
And so after that, we're left baffled, like, thinking about the film. Like, you just wanted to watch it again to try and understand it again.
Right.
So, like, it was a very deep film for me, like, on a philosophical and scientific level.
So let's go back to the question Duncan asked me of how did you discover your drive for film, your drive for photography. Was it a process? Did it come by means of revelation? Was it a waking up one day, Jess, and saying, wow, I just want to capture this light and darkness and gradations of darkness, you know, on film? Or was it a gradual revelation over time? Mm.
I think as soon as I jumped into photography, I knew I had a deep passion.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a lot of feedback from how I was very creative and imaginative, and I never really knew that I had a perspective that was different to others, because I don't think you know until you've received that feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the more that, especially my teachers, my photography teachers, my drama teachers, the more that they encouraged me, the more I realized that I had a vision that was worth sharing. And the more I grew with that, the more I became passionate about images and social issues and stories that I can and capture and present to people.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
So, Jess, let me just jump in here and just tell the audience how I know that you are a born visionary. I just took my pen, Duncan, and I just made a note of some of the words that Jess used in the last minute. Well, minute or 2 minutes. She used the word jumped. She used the word creative. She used the word imaginative. She used the word encourage. She used the word vision. She used the word passion. She used the word social issues. Duncan, if somebody spoke to you with those words, what would you say? What sort of person have you met?
I would say I've met someone who's really in touch with their thoughts and dreams.
Good.
And is really passionate about everything and is taking everything absolutely serious, Professor.
I think that's just awesome, Duncan, to say. Here we have Jess Myhill and her friend Tabo, they are in touch. They are in touch with their dreams, with their visions, with their passions, with their aspirations, with their futures, with their careers, with the dreaming beyond the dream. So, Jess, let me just move on to the next question, if I may. And that is, you, of course, have just recently got out of school. I remember that happened to me many, many years ago. But in what ways did your time at school help you nurture, develop your interests in the world, this incredible world of film?
Well, my school experience was something that really grew me and my personal development in creativity and who I am as a person.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the fact that I went to a school that exposed me to so many mediums of creating art, I was really able to grow in those fields,
yes,
such as art and drama and photography and film. And the the large amount of input that I received from that really grew my creative vision and my creative ability to communicate and find my voice in those niches at school. And I think people don't give enough credit to teachers who nurture and encourage you when when in those formative years. And I really, really owe so much appreciation to my teachers, especially my drama teacher, my art teachers and photography, who really gave me feedback and encouragement into who I am today and who I am creatively.
You, of course, come from a very creative family in general, the My Hill family. I know, for example, of the great creativity shown in your mom, Felicity, and in the incredible work she's been able to do over the years. How did the nurturing by your parents help you to become as creative a person as you are today?
I think the cultural exposure that I've been exposed to throughout my life has really helped me to grow passionate about plays, drama plays, and art because of the grand exposure that they gave me and the cultural interest that I formed.
Right.
And
now tell me about art. You've hit on the horizons, the cosmic horizons of art. Tell me about which sort of art do you really like? Which sort of art really drives the mindset of Jess?
I think art is just an amazing platform and source to
absolutely
to just
to
put it,
yourself.
To and also to just process things as a community, as a country, as the world, because there's a lot of angst in the world, especially in a country such as South Africa, where art is really, really important when we need to process a lot of things and angst. And and I think Athol Fugard said a quote along the lines of, "All art comes from fire." And that really motivated me in how, what sort of artist I want to be, because I think the more real and passionate we make our art and movies, the more we can touch and transform the way people think and the way we are as people and in a community.
You know, Jess, there's a wonderful saying by Plutarch who said, "The mind is a fire to be lit." And I just think that is just so awesome. So in other words, in your day-to-day experience, getting up in the morning and doing photography and filming and so forth, is the aspect of art always first and foremost in your mindset? Or do you have, are there many other harmonics playing within your neurophysiological processes?
Well, I think I've always looked at the world quite deeply, and I think when I have a project such as a drama play that I'm collaborating with people and discussing issues, I think I will pick up a lot of things, such as if people are going through issues such as burdens and I will pick up on that and see how I can harness what they're giving me and put it into an art medium.
I can see Duncan's getting ready to ask us a question. Duncan, I just love your questions. The professor and Duncan, we form a little healthy team over here. Duncan, why don't you hit from the hip, sir?
That is absolutely correct, professor, and I second that. What I want to find out from the lady here is... you know, with all these movies that are coming out, so many genres and sub-genres, maybe it may be too soon for this question, Professor, I'm not sure. But I just want to know which genre of movies she'd like to delve into. And what
very
messages messages do you have in your heart that you want to portray in a form of a movie
very
out there?
Good.
Isn't
it
too soon for that question, Professor?
No. You know, Einstein said, Duncan, time is relative. And, you know, there's this story which goes as follows, Duncan. You know, a young man is sitting on a hot stove for a second, and it seems like an hour. But when the young man is in the presence of a young girl he adores, 1 hour seems like a second.
Yeah.
So the time is relative. That's not too soon. Go for it, Jess. And Taba, you add your thoughts, please.
Well, I think I've always been interested in dramas because of the real core emotions that they bring out of people.
Okay, what sorts of dramas? I mean, let's take our country. Would you like to photograph and tell the world, for example, of the life of Mandela or, you know, the life of Walter Sisulu, or would it be drama within school children's minds? Or I think that's what Duncan's really getting at, is what sort of agenda, not agendas, but what sort of foci would you like to dramatize and tell the world, given the richness of South African history and drama and drama?
I think I think it's really important to speak about our South African history, and I think we have delved into that a lot in our films. But what I think is lacking in South Africa is a sense that, as on an international scale, we're all humans, and I think South Africa needs to form more of a voice that's not specifically about apartheid and our history, but more about the people today and the people who are living today and who are going to, because we have such a vibrance and passion in this country, and I think everyone is as a human should be able to relate to any story from any country in the world. And I think the more we do that, the more our films will be recognized internationally.
What are your dreams in terms of that, Thabo, in terms of what subject matter do you believe should be filmed and screened across the globe?
Well, across the globe, I would say it'd have to be, well, I agree with Jessica's point about drama, and especially in South Africa, we have such a diverse country.
But what sorts of drama? I mean, dramas, it's just like saying, you know, I'm a doctor, but that could be of the brain, it could be of the toe, it could be of the inner ear. Can you narrow that down for me in your frame
of mind?
If I had to
narrow it down, I think it would be a drama about the interactions of South Africans with each other.
Good.
Because we are such a large country, so diverse, and the interactions that we have with people of different cultures that take that go by on a day-to-day basis. Like, if we can just focus on that more to show that our country, how it works together, how the different people work together, that the social exchanges that we have amongst such a widespread group of people, like to show people and the rest of the world that, I think would be like a very bright thing to bring to the country.
What did you think of Tsotsi?
Oh, Tsotsi is a film that I watched a long time ago.
Yes, but it's also very rich with drama, isn't it? And with a storyline.
Yes, it is a very rich drama and a very rich storyline. And people got a different aspect of the country. Like, I don't know if I want to dwell into other stuff, but it showed the hardship that people faced in South Africa. And I think once it got onto an international stage, more people could actually see the hardships that people were going through, rather than just reading on them about, like, just reading about them on a newspaper article or like a flash in the news. It told the story of the people who were living in that kind of situation. And films like that, even though they delve into harder parts of our society, they are necessary to spread the message about our film, and that our films have roots and what they stand for, and that we actually do have really deep films.
Excellent. Well, before I proceed any further with asking Jess questions and her friend Thabo, I would like to just interject and add one little thought, if I may, and that is, as you know, Duncan, I've been in Australia for a long time, and I certainly missed being with you here live on air each week, but I'm very aware that to raise one's dream, when I was your age, Jess, it needed a lot of financial help. I was very privileged to win what was called the British Council Scholarship, and that enabled me to study at any university in the UK, including Oxford and Cambridge and so on. So, you know, I don't think my career would ever have really taken off the way it did if I didn't have people behind me financially. So I think of the giant, you know, the giant Michael O'Dowd. Jess, you might not have known of him, but certainly of his daughter. She climbed Mount Everest. But Mr. Michael O'Dowd was chairman of the American Anglo-American Chairman's Fund, and he sponsored me personally for about 20 years. And he helped me really reach you know, the stage which I'd always dreamed to be on. So without these sorts of Michael O'Dowds, one cannot reach one's dream. And I'm very aware, having been in Australia, that, you know, writing a book, for example, for a couple of weeks, I was away 5 weeks, and it costs literally, you know, just multiply tens of thousands of rands. And, you know, for a year, it just costs so much more, especially given the weakness of the rand. But I'm never against the dollar, but I'm never, ever fazed by these sorts of financial challenges, because I know that sponsorship always follows the dream. You have the dream first, and sponsorship follows it. Now, suppose someone's listening in today and they say, you know, I want to help Jess reach her dream and, you know, help fundraise, you know, to raise money for her, to support her in her dream. We're going to hear in a second how she was auditioned to be accepted by the New York Film Academy, which is absolutely awesome, at the age of 19. But suppose someone wants to reach Jess and say, I want to stand behind Jess financially. I believe that I saw on Facebook today, I must tell listeners, I went to Jess on the Hill and I couldn't find anything because I was confusing this, their surname with my hill, see? But now, Jess, give us your Facebook link so that people can follow you and those who want to sponsor you can do so.
Well, I've created a Facebook page called Jess in the City.
Jess in the City. Wow.
Not that's Jess on awesome. The Hill.
Yes, all right. So it's not Jessica, it's just Jess in the City. And can people follow your aspirations and your dreams there?
Yes, by liking the page, you'll get the feed in your Facebook feed, and you can follow my progress.
Okay.
And if you want to personally message me, there's a message option on the page where you can contact me.
Well, I must say, Jess, that I'm just so excited. Duncan's brought up on the screen some of the speakers at the New York Film Academy. Folk, how about this? Just chilling some of a day and going to hear Steven Spielberg. Wouldn't that just really drive you forward, Duncan?
I'd feel so privileged.
Oh, I mean, I, of course, am an astronomer. So, you know, Steven Spielberg, of course, I greatly admire. But it's like me in being invited to hear perhaps Stephen Hawking talk. I mean, this is the sort of genre of the person you're going to be exposed to. Imagine this. Guest speakers at the New York Film Academy include, now listen, folk, listen to the professor, Steven Spielberg, Kevin Spacey, Sir Ben Kingsley. Wow, Duncan, I mean, this is just one legend after another. This is just like in politics, you know, Mandela and Sisulu and just hosts of others. Ron Howard, I mean, and, you know, Andy Garcia. I mean, this is just top stuff. Now, I see in the programs they offer. They offer a 1 and 2 year conservatory, a 1 year Master of Arts program, a 2 year Bachelor of a Master of Fine Arts, a Bachelor of Fine Arts, an Associate of Fine Arts. Wow, this is just getting so exciting that I think I need to apply to the New York Film Academy. I even have a number here, 1-800-611-FILM, Film. So this is exciting. Now, Jess, tell us how you got in.
Well, I was very fortunate to receive an email from one of my drama teachers who told me that the people from the New York Film Academy were coming to South Africa to do interviews. And it was actually in Rivonia, very close to here. And so I started emailing this correspondent before I actually got the interview. And she was very interested in asking what I was interested in and creatively. And eventually she told me, gave me a list of the courses, and I applied for a 1 year filmmaking conservatory year, which is just provides a whole umbrella of filmmaking techniques, and I think
so. Why only 1 year?
1 year because of the amount of money I need to...
Okay, now, folks, come on now. Now, listen, we have a young lady. She's got a dream. She uses words like jumping, creative, imaginative, encourage, vision, passion, and so much more. Come on, let's just help sponsor this young lady to reach for the stars, to do a three-year course at the New York Film Academy. You reach her on Facebook in Jazz in the City. I think this is awesome. I noticed that Al Pacino, the Academy Award-winning actor, is at the New York Film Academy in Los Angeles, where he spoke with the Film Academy students about his new film, The Humbling, directed by Barry Levinson. You're listening to Professor David Block. You can reach me in studio on 0861-555-189, Twitter at CliffCentral.com, Facebook Cliff Central, WeChat ID Cliff Central. Duncan, I believe. It is time. You've asked me, is it too soon? It's not too soon to have a little music break. Tell me what we're going to listen to, Duncan.
It's just a feel-good track. It's called Good Day by The Nappy Roots. It should get you in a jolly
mood. The Nappy Weeds.
Nappy Roots.
Ah, The Nappy Roots. That sounds far more academic, Duncan, to the professor. Let us go and
let's
chill away.
Now. I woke up this morning and I said, you know, instead of waiting for a good day to happen, you know, waiting around through ups and downs, you know, I just said, look.
Are listening to Professor David Block, and we're looking up with Jess Myhill and her dear friend Tabo, and we are reaching for the stars. We are looking at the New York Film Academy and Jess's amazing opportunity to have been selected to travel to New York, that city of the skyscrapers, that city where you cannot simply see the starry vaults that easily. You are looking at someone here in studio today who has a dream, who has a vision, who has been accepted to study, you know, at an academy, the New York Film Academy, Duncan, you know, where Steven Spielberg would go out and chill for some moments. Now, tell me, Duncan, I had asked Jess why she's only going for 1 year, not three. What are your thoughts, Duncan, with regard to other sources of sponsorship, other sources meaning other than individuals?
Well, I just want to find out from Jess first. Are you the first female South African to go abroad to the New York Film Academy?
No, I think the fact that the New York Film Academy is 50% international, they are sourcing quite a lot of South African South Africans to go over. But I think what's quite unique about what I'm doing is I'm not going for acting or musical theater. I'm going to be
film.
To do filmmaking, which is a very male dominated sphere of people.
I understand.
So I think this is the perfect chance for the local art department of South African government just to jump on and sponsor her. What do you think, Professor?
Oh, Duncan, that's just extraordinary. I mean, just think of the billions being spent on so many things, you know, swimming pools and, you know, just some, you know.
Fire pools, yes.
Well, fire pools, that's right. We had George Bezos in studio, right? And he kept us rolling some. But yes, very, very seriously so, I think this is an ideal time for the government to, you know, pour some of our precious taxpayers' money into someone else's dream rather than into someone else's pocket. And I think that's just a brilliant suggestion there, Duncan. I would urge any ministerial involvement listening to Looking Up with David Block to go to Jess in the city. Now, Jess, tell me, what aspects of the New York Film Academy are you looking forward to the most?
I think that as soon as I went on the website, I looked at how they teach you film, mm-hmm. and I think that's what stood out to me the most. Mm-hmm. And they pride themselves on their hands-on approach to teaching film.
Mm.
And they have on-set lectures, and you make films, and you learn by making films. Mm-hmm. And I think that is the most the best way to learn. It's I always use a metaphor. If a dancer wants to learn how to dance,
yes.
they don't learn the history of dance in theory. They learn, they practice and spend hours in dance studios.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think the university gives you an opportunity to do.
Mm-hmm. So what would your day-to-day activities be? Do you know yet?
They give you a whole list of what you do every month mm-hmm. and every term. You work on 8 films in total.
You work on 8 films.
Yeah, and you have it's a very they have a lot of sections that they cover in the
yes.
in the course,
mm-hmm.
which is filmmaking, directing, sound.
Mm.
That's such a huge overview of film, which would be very beneficial to someone who's going into the film industry mm-hmm. straight away.
Mm-hmm. So, welcome, Nikki, online. This is just awesome, Nikki, having you as our guest today on WeChat. I just love your question and your thoughts. Let's read it. Hi, Prof. Well, that's me, I suppose. Yes, Nikki. Hi, Prof. Taking a quick sneak. Well, that's always good to do, Nikki. You have to sneak some. Do you agree, Duncan?
I agree.
One has to sneak. Yeah. Now, hi, Prof. Taking a quick sneak break. Oh, more questions rolling in. To say I love your show. Well, Nikki, thank you so much. I'm here because I want to light your mindset. I'm here because I see a mindset not lit yet to its full potential in the life of Nikki. I'm here, as Plutarch said, the mind is not, you know, a vessel to be filled, but a fire to be lit. She says here, Duncan, I love your show. Well, thank you so much, Nikki. I wish I could listen to it every week. Well, so do I, Nikki, to ask you the hundreds of questions that come to mind with the brilliant topics and stories that you introduce. Well, I'm just so honored that you're, you know, putting it in that way. We have Jess Myhill today. Next week, we have Ahmed Kathrada, who was in this, you know, just the next cell, Duncan, to Nelson Mandela on Robben Island. It was Nelson Mandela, and then right next door was Ahmed Kathrada, and he's 86 now. And so we've had George Bezos, and now Jess Myhill, and then Ahmed Kathrada. So,
yeah, amazing.
I just think this is awesome. I'm just so excited that all my listeners are excited, so excited, and that's that I've got such a brilliant engineer, audio engineer in the form of Duncan. So thank you, Nikki, for those thoughts. They are most deeply valued. And also, Nikki, you have made my day. You have ignited my mindset. So thank you for doing that, Nikki. Now you go back. You've had your quick sneak for the day, and you do what you are talented to do best. Thank you. Oh, inappropriate, Sir Duncan. He's just one of our most faithful listeners, Jess and Tabo. His name is just, his acronym is just inappropriate. I just think that just, you know, it's just so neat. Inappropriate. It's just so cool. All right. Now, what's ND? So let's just see here. Oh, okay. I'm getting it. It's a typo error. It typed in the excitement of inappropriate fingering. Is that all right? That doesn't sound right, Duncan.
At all, Professor.
All right. Okay. You know, professors of astronomy, to me, fingering simply means, you know, I'm showing in, you know, in the studio what it means. But I suppose for Gareth and others. fingering might have a very sexual connotation. I just realized this while fingering. But, Inappropriate asks, what's the biggest budget ever used locally in film? That's a hard one, I suppose. And what's the best local movie, Jess? So that's a question from Inappropriate to Jess. And you can also see it on that screen.
Well, I think...
Yeah.
I think a film that has touched me, I think, I studied it at school, actually, was Yesterday.
And yes.
I think that film really captured so much beauty in people and in hardship.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's so much potential, and I could see it there. And also when I looked at a movie like... that was shot in South Africa about Mandela.
Mm-hmm.
When I watched the beautiful cinematography in the beginning and that spirit that was just visually just so evident in the beginning scenes.
The opening scenes.
Yeah, yes. I knew that that's what I wanted to do. And
What are your thoughts, Thabo, with regard to, say, the Mandela movie? I mean, I happened to watch that movie on the night he died. We came out of the theater, and then it was announced to the world that he had died. But we just had come out of the theater. I believe we were at Monte Cassino. So what attracted you about that movie, Thabo? What was it? Was it the opening scenes? Was it the giantness of his spirit? Was it his comradeship? What was it that you found so appealing about the film?
Well, what I found so appealing about the film is the way that they portrayed Mandela, like the giantness of his spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that with the time that the film was released, that had a major impact on it, because it was a reflection of the character that he was for the whole nation.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a great way of depicting Nelson Mandela. So, it was a good tribute to the man he was.
Which part of the story, Thabo, I mean, I'd love to know this, which part of the story in the film touched you the most? Was it when he was leaving Kunu in the Transkei? Was it him growing up? Was it at the Rivonia trial? We're right here in Rivonia today. I'll ask you first and then ask Jess next. Which part of the story there really appealed to you the most?
The part that appealed to me the most was him leaving his home in the Transkei.
Yes,
and
I agree.
Setting out on such, on a journey that no one could have ever expected.
Right.
So that part really touched out to me. And speaking of it now, it kind of reminds me of Jess, she's leaving her home here in South Africa for a great journey in the New York Film Academy.
Right. Well, that's beautiful. The analogy drawn between Mandela leaving home, going to Johannesburg and elsewhere, reaching his dream, so many difficulties en route, but he certainly knew that an open mindset caused one to reach for the stars. But again, I have to say this. People often say to me, Prof, how did you achieve A, B, and C? And I must salute again Michael O'Dowd for his incredible financial support and also other sponsors who've come on board over time. And I'm speaking of sponsors for my research. And so if you want to sponsor this young female filmmaker, who allow her to hear people like Steven Spielberg and many others, then just go to Facebook, go to Jess in the City, allow her to hear Kevin Spacey, Sir Ben Kingsley, Ron Howard, and just multitudes more. I just find this so amazing, so people orientated and so touching. What touched you the most, Jess, if you think back and reflect upon the movie Mandela?
I found it very interesting when Thabo said what he did, because I had that thought in my head as this whole journey and this whole quest that I'm going on is becoming a lot more real with donations that I've already got. I've already had some
That's
amazing
awesome.
Support.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. And it's been very emotional because I've been in a community of people who are supporting me so much, and and they supported me so that I go away and that I leave the country for at least a year.
And, you know, I must say this about the Mahil family is that, you know, Duncan, at times we've had our challenges, I suppose, on any journey. It's never a completely smooth ride. We have teenagers who are boys. They're teenagers. The hormones are raging. I think Einstein couldn't even follow the speeds of the hormonal movements as I'm speaking to you today. We have Aaron, our eldest son, and just the wonderful interplay between the Mahils and the Blocks has just been so positive and just so awesome and so beneficial and so just mutually uplifting. And that's the world that you want to just explore just to a much larger degree. So tell me how you feel about going into the film industry as a young female filmmaker. I mean, this is really extraordinary.
I think that it's been tough, and I know it will be tough, especially because as a female, it's hard. It's tough. You don't. It's not very. Males have succeeded a lot more, especially behind as directors and.
Why is that? I mean, historically, that's absolutely correct. Is that, you know, whenever I think of all the famous movies I've ever watched, almost all, if not all, have had male directors. Mm-hmm. What is it? Is it a fear of the unknown? Surely in the States we would expect to find for more female filmmakers. Mm-hmm. What is it? What? There must be some crucible here that I'm not quite understanding well.
It's something I've done a bit of research into. And,
what did you find?
It's actually quite interesting. The stats are crazy. The one that interests me was I'm very interested in cinematography. Mm-hmm. And apparently with top movies, there are 98% males cinematography and 2% female. Mm-hmm. And I think that...
And why is that?
It's hard to know because I think that females have a lot to contribute. I think the female perspective is one that is lacking. I think that the male perspective has done amazingly well with many films, but I think it could be that females aren't standing up for themselves and not pushing boundaries and just going for it. Mm-hmm. And I think it's also that the males are taking advantage of what's been done, what position they are in, which is... In the filmmaking, they've had a lot more advantage in historically, and in how they've addressed themselves. And I think that there is definitely, I would really want to be a person who would bring females into the role of female filmmakers, because there's definitely a need. Mm-hmm. I think.
You know, it is so interesting, Duncan. I mean, you've just brought up something on the screen here. How many females do you see on the screen, Duncan?
No female, not even one, Professor.
No, I mean, I can't think of anybody even looks female. you know, Andy Garcia and Ron Howard and Sir Ben Kingsley, I don't think. Yes, no, these are people who are definitely males. And Steven Spielberg. So... I think that, Jess, this is an absolute unique opportunity. I mean, giving us stats of 98% and 2%, 98% male and 2% female is really extraordinary. And I just couldn't think of any better exercise than to run to the bank and hit Jess in the city and help her on a career. I really mean that most sincerely, knowing what people like Michael O'Dowd did for me. Now, of course, let's suppose you do go to New York, say, for 2 or 3 years, and then let's trust that you come back. What will you bring back to the country?
Well, I think that the international experience would really enrich my creative process. Mm-hmm. And I think that that America have done something right in their film industry, and especially
right.
because
that is true.
They've created a voice for themselves, and they've created, they have such, especially New York, where I will hopefully be going, is such a creative hub of energy. Mm-hmm. And I think that will enrich my creative ability to tell stories, and I can bring that back to South Africa, which would enhance our voice as a country and enhance our film value on an international level.
Tell me, Taba, as a male, what do you believe Jess could really bring back as far as social issues are concerned? I mean, here you've grown up in the country, as is all of us in studio today. What do you believe? Why do you perceive that Jess's journey is just so extraordinary and so special and deserves every support it can get?
Well, I find that Jess's story is very special because it's going to bring empowerment and equality back to South Africa.
Good.
Because when she does go to the New York Film Academy and she does take a stand for what she wants to do, even though the film industry is very male-dominated,
mm-hmm.
and then she does succeed in that, so growing that 2%, maybe let's say to 3%,
mm-hmm.
slowly working females like position in the cinematography aspect and coming back into South Africa, that she can encourage more South African women to also take up and do what they want to do and not feel pressure just because it's a male-dominated thing not to strive for their dreams, so that she can also inspire younger people to also go on their journeys, even though they will be hard and difficult, but to see that it is possible.
You know, it's very interesting, Jason Tabo, that in the world of astronomy, Duncan, when I was at school and then decided to become an astronomer, it was just entirely male-dominated. Well, that didn't threaten me because I wasn't female or had any others, unusual trends. But the point I'm driving at is that astronomy was a very male-dominated, regime. In fact, women weren't allowed access to telescope time at the world's largest observatories. That's absolutely true. But now, some of the world's greatest leaders in astronomy are females. People such as Debbie Elmergreen, whom we've had here in South Africa, the president of the American Astronomical Society, the former president. I think of Vera Rubin at the Carnegie Institute of Washington. These are women, are giants in our field today. And there was a transition from a total male-dominated astronomical epoch to one of total equality. And I just think that's awesome. And I just think that, Jess, you need the space to grow. And, you know, part of that space is just in always keeping your dream within your spirit alive. You know, there will be days, and I can attest to this when I went through my degrees, when one feels, you know, Duncan, I want to come home. I'm longing for the African bush. But, you know, on days like that, one just has to keep one's vision and one's focus in utter perspective. I'm just so glad, Jess, that you've been accepted into the New York Film Academy, because I remember when Steven Spielberg, apparently this is a true story, when Steven Spielberg wanted to enter Hollywood, he couldn't because they had enough people working there. And so he decided, how can I actually get into Hollywood? And I love the story. Apparently, he jumped onto a bus. And, of course, there are many oodles of buses touring Hollywood and the Hollywood studios. And he just jumped off the bus at one point. He saw a little local movie being made. Just jumped off there, hopped off the bus, went and introduced himself to everybody. And the bus moved on. Steven stayed behind, and he stayed behind ever since. So I think that the dream is alive. The dream is, you know, taking us to new echelons. We are talking to Jess Myhill. We've had such an amazing chat today about the dynamics of light, about the medium of film. Not only the medium of photography, but the veritable medium of film. We've seen a young female South Africa's dream to do on and off stage drama using cameras. We have met a person today, Jess Myhill, the daughter of Felicity and Eric Myhill, who loves to understand light, those little photons which you and I see moment by moment, is that which Jess Myhill strives to attain. She will be our, she will fly our flag high. She will fly the South African flag very high at the New York Film Academy. Of that, I am absolutely sure. She's headed to the shores of the United States. She's headed to the shores where Harvard University resides. She's headed for the shores where people reach for their dreams. She's headed for a country where upon entrance you meet the Statue of Liberty, of freedom, that which was attained in our very own country. But she's taking with her her own particular style, her own learning style, her own way of dreaming and of reaching the echelons of tomorrow. Just in the last 40 seconds, allow me to wish you bon voyage on your dream. What do you have to say to that, Duncan?
I say go well, lady.
Go well, lady. And Duncan, let us play out with some good, good local music. This is Professor David Block signing out with my hosts, guests, Jess Myhill and her dear friend, Tarbo. Until next week, goodbye. 3 seconds to go.
CliffCentral.com.